one sat alone beside the highway, begging. His eyes were blind, the light he could not see. He clutched his old rags and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and bade his darkness flee. When Jesus comes...
It's time again for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff.
When Jesus comes, all the tears are dried away.
And here now is Brother Roloff.
And fills the life with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay.
Fellas, how are we going to have better boys until we build better men and better daddies? How? I never get a boy, hardly. I hardly ever get a boy unless he's a victim of a broken home and a lack of faith and a lack of the Word of God. The Bible says, bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Train up a child the way he should go. They call my home. And a man in New Orleans said, I'm going to get on a plane and I'm flying to McAllen, Texas, down in the valley, and I'm going to take a boy. He said, I feel I must take him tomorrow. And so far as I know, there's not any way to stop him, even though when he gets there, he may face real difficulty. Mothers and daddies, isn't it cruel to bring little children into the world and then not do what God tells us to do with them? Little old things are so... You know, if we could just bring them up right when they're young, then if they made a decision when they get... But they don't. We shape their whole lives and their soul. You know, it wouldn't be so bad. And I'm going to say something I guess I've never said before. If I were to have my way, though this may sound a little cruel to some of you, if I were to have my way, I'd never let an unsaved couple give birth to a living baby. And I'm thinking seriously about what I'm saying. I'd never let a little baby be born to an unsaved mother and dad. Never. I'm going to make one more statement, and I realize I'm on the radio, but I tell you, dear friends, if you'd seen them cry as much as I've seen them cry, and you'd heard their cry and seen their affliction, and know the torn little old conditions of their lives, I believe you'd say the same. If I had my way about it, if a baby got born into a family that were not going to live for Christ and have prayer and lead that child to Christ, I could pray earnestly that it get killed or die before it reaches the age of accountability. And folks, if you don't understand what I'm talking about tonight, I'll tell you, I don't believe you have a vision of hell and of wasted living. I wouldn't want any little child to get grown without Jesus. Their life is empty. Their souls are lost. And eternity is a long time to be without God. And yet, millions of little children have never heard the name of Jesus. Did you know that little children are turning rapidly against Jesus? Did you know the little child in Corpus Christi, even in a Christian day school, said, we don't like that old man called Jesus, do we? Can you imagine? Reckon where he got that? Did you know that somebody brought a little child to our school and said, now, if you're going to have chapel or religious service, I'm going to request that you let my little child step outside. I do not want my child to hear the story of Jesus. Nothing about Christmas. I want my child to be left completely out of it. If my child comes to this school, I want you not to expose my child to the teaching about Jesus. Now, you know what those people wanted? They wanted us to build a character in that poor little helpless child without the builder. Listen, a man said right up here in the penitentiary, he said, Brother Roloff, if I were to come, right up here in the chaplain's office, chaplain Charles Hanbury, he said, Brother Olof, if I were to come down there at that project down the Intercoastal Canal, could you put some character in me? Well, I said, I know if you'll believe what we preach. Well, he said, the trouble with me, I'm having trouble believing in the divinity of Christ. I said, then till you come to where you believe in Jesus Christ, nobody can put any character in you. And I know this rubs the old cat the wrong way, but there's no man on earth or woman that has any real, genuine character that doesn't have Christ. If you do, where'd you get it? You weren't born with it. Paul said, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Paul said, I know that in me, that is in my flesh, there dwells no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. And dear friend, I submit to you tonight that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And all of us are hell-deserving sinners tonight, apart from the grace of God. But I'm glad the old-timers were right when they said, as long as the lamp of grace shall burn, the vilest sinner may return. Oh, I tell you the offer we've got to this old lost world. Just come. Well, he said, Noah went in, and his sons and his wife and his sons' wives with him into the ark because of the waters of the flood. And don't forget now, don't forget, when they got in the ark, the Bible says the Lord closed the door. And the Lord closed the door. And dear friends, when the doors close, God will do the closing. And don't you be afraid of a Baptist preacher or a Catholic priest or a Church of Christ minister or an Assembly of God pastor or any other man closing the door. Brother, God will close the door.
Amen.
And one day you'll hear this sweet call, your last time. And one day when that blessed Holy Spirit writes Ichabod on your head and walks away, you'll never be saved. Brother Pastor, the last few weeks I've been giving thought more than I ever did because of the people that we work with that God has given, I believe, a great crowd in this generation up to a reprobate mind. Inasmuch as they did not want to retain God in their knowledge or in their minds, God gave them up. The reprobate mind. My Bible said because of impure relationships, he gave them up to vile and unclean affections. They loved that which they had no right to love. And he gave them up to unclean living and learning and living. And loving. Dear friends, those three things, God said, I give you up. And any man that can come and sit through the gospel and time and time and time again and be bored to tears with it, it could be that God has given him up to a reprobate mind. And I say this as lovingly as I know how to say it. And I wish I could say it, drowning in tears tonight and with a bleeding heart. That's reason number one that I hate television. It's because it's conquered the minds of our people. And they cannot think about God. They can't retain the Word of God. They don't memorize or read or pray or have anything to do with the Word of God. Their minds are so saturated and so hooked on the dope of Hollywood. If you wouldn't pray with you and you can't talk to them, they're not interested, they don't get still, you go in the home, and it's just a bunch of hoodlums in there, most of them hooping and hollering and raising Cain, and everybody's restless and on the move. Where can you get the gospel into? And dear friends, all I say is because I'm interested in you. We're not getting people saved today because people's minds are reprobate minds.
Yeah.
They can't think anymore. Used to, people could be pure, and they could sit down and be still and carry on a sweet conversation, talk maybe for an hour about good things and about the Lord, but not anymore. Not anymore. Young people are good. And listen, Brother Pastor, if you and I live and this old world were to stand for the next 25 years, brother, we are in for it. We're not going to have much to even build churches out of. I'll guarantee you. You can't build a church out of what we got coming up now. In the first place, there's not enough of them. In the second place, they haven't got any foundation. Our churches are getting it. If you don't believe it, you go to your church on Wednesday night and see if there's any young people. You call a prayer meeting and see if any young people ever show up. You get ready to go win souls and see. Not many times do you find any young people. Now listen, what are we going to have tomorrow? Ms. Roloff and I have sat in our living room, and we get to sit there so little, but we've sat and we've talked, and she said, honey, what is going to happen to the family altar program and the enterprises when all these sweet old friends, I just got a bunch of letters back, said deceased, don't send the paper anymore. And sometimes, listen, we've gotten some mighty sharp, jagged notes back, said, don't you send your letter to her, my mother's dead, and she's the only one around here to ever listen to you. I'm telling you, I could see sparks of fire coming from that bunch of heathens that had gobbled up everything the old godly mother had saved. That's the reason I'd like to say out loud, you mothers and daddies that are getting ready to die, one of the things you better do, you better insure what you've got against your children, throwing it away as soon as you're dead. Amen. You better wake up, because you might as well give it to the devil as to a wild, ungodly child. You can get mad at me if you want to, but you'll stand before God at the judgment seat, and you can't say a little old preacher didn't warn you. I wouldn't leave a child I've got, either one of my daughters, a dime. If I had $1 million, and of course if I did, I'd spend it today. You know, my policy is to be a giving while I'm a living, and then I'll be a knowing of where it's a going. That's a good policy. Hey. Brother, I won't have to get home and the Lord say, son, reckon what your children going to do with it. I didn't leave anything for them. Oh, you said didn't leave? Oh, yes, I did. I left them a trust fund. I heard them announcing on the bank advertising news, said, you ought to set up a trust fund for your children. I said, amen. I set mine up many years ago, and both of them trusted Jesus. Hey. It's the greatest trust fund. God said, I'll take care of everybody that's entered my trust fund. I guarantee he's got more deposits and he's got more resources than all the banks of Georgia. Amen. Now I'll guarantee you in that bank, brother, there'll be no robbers. Mr. Jed Cahoover will never be called on from heaven to look out a bank robber that got in God's bank. They don't get in his bank. Brother, we better put our money and our resources up yonder, where moth and rust doth not corrupt, and thieves can't break through and steal.
Amen.
God's people better get in a hurry and busy making their investments right now and make them count for Christ, where souls are being. And let me say this. I believe if you're going to make your investment count, put it where people are getting saved. I mean, why do you want to just put it in brick and mortar? Why do you want to put it in endowment for? I mean, why would you? Well, I know every denomination, and I know they'll scap me for saying this, but I've been scapped a lot of times, and God grows back some scap. They got high-powered, high-salaried men do nothing but drive the highways and fly the airplanes talking to precious old souls about, put your money in our denomination. You put your money in this big, and they got millions and millions and millions of dollars of endowment right now.
That's right.
And I'm going to tell you something else, and there's not a denominational man on the face of the earth can answer this without telling the truth. If you tell the truth, you'll have to say what I'm thinking to say. You've never known of a denomination that got rich with endowment, but what she lost her endowment. You don't know what I'm talking about? I'm talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. Every denomination that ever got rich lost their power with God. And souls are not saved. Churches are dead. And Ichabod's been written over their head. Listen, dear. I know. Now, somebody said to me the other day and wrote a sweet little note since I've been here. And I appreciate it, and I read it, and I believe I'm reasonable. But he said, Brother Roloff, a denomination points to the Lord. It's a pointer. It's a signboard. It's a signboard. Now, more or less, that was so when they started out. But dear friends, later on, the denomination, its signboards points to its denomination.
Yes, amen.
They don't point to Jesus, they point to the denomination. They point to the program.
Right.
Now, if you want some signboards, I'll tell you what let's do. Let's get the Word of God. That's God's signboard. Let's get some dedicated Christians that love Jesus and they're walking signboards.
Amen.
But you don't use institutions or denominations to be signboards for the Lord, because sooner or later, they lose their arrow.
Amen.
And they don't point to Jesus. And it's always been that way. I know I'm on the radio, and I have no denomination in mind. What about the Catholics? What about the Episcopalians? What about the Lutherans? What about the Baptists? What about the Methodists? What about the Assembly of God? What about the Pentecost? What about the Nazarenes? There's not an honest member of this denomination that's saved and filled with the Spirit with what I'll have to say. Brother Roloff, all of us have drifted from our anchor. All of us. I mean, every one of us. None of us are what we were back yonder many years ago when we had to make progress on our knees. And when we had nothing to depend on but the Lord. And I don't say that with any ill will or ugly spirit. I have no axe to grind. I have one life to live. But listen, dear friends, what we need is some local churches and local pastors and born-again, spirit-filled Christians that'll get busy with the Word of God winning people to Christ. And that's our main business. I just love Christian fellowship. But I sure would like to have some fellowship with some sinners. I mean, I just wish more would show up in the church house, don't you?
Yes.
But they're not coming unless we go. Let's go to the book of Isaiah, and we'll have to hastily take some other invitations. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. I hope I haven't lost my crowd now because of what I said, because God says the same thing in Isaiah chapter 1. Don't have time to read it. But if you read the entire chapter, you'll find exactly a repetition of that in our day. But notice, at the close of the chapter, or toward the middle of the chapter, he says, when you spread forth your hands, verse 15, I'll hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when you make many prayers, I'll not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do well. Seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Isn't that a sweet invitation? Why, he said, listen, come now. Y'all come on now. When did he say now? N-O-W. Oh, we sang the song. My daddy's favorite song was In the Sweet By and By. But I think we need to sing In the Sweet Now and Now. You know, I mean, there's got to be a sweet now and now, or there'll never be a sweet by and by. Today's the day of salvation. And I tell you tonight, everybody in here ought to get so violent over their desire for salvation, they'd forget about church membership, joining the church, or anything else, and say, I'm going to be saved before I leave this building. I'll never leave this altar until I get saved. He said, if ye be willing, and then obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. And that's God's promise. Turn with me to the last book, the last chapter, and the last word just about it. And let's see what God's going to say. He's getting ready to close her up now. And I tell you, this must have been a solemn time. This must have been a sacred time. I mean, they've come to the end of the greatest book and the only books ever been written. The laws of our land were built on this book. And everything that I've ever gotten worth living for or dying for, I found in the book. The only thing that ever gave me victory over myself and sin and gave me peace and joy, I found in the book. The only thing, I never have found anything in any book that would do what this book has done for me. And so what did he say? Revelation chapter 22, and it's verse 17. And dear friend, did you know there's not anything else? There's only four verses left after that. And there's not anything really except a warning and then a benediction and then a brief prayer for Jesus to come on. John is out on the island of Patmos now. And God has given him this great revelation. And the Lord, in a sense, and through my imagination at least, said, "Now, John, I'm going to let you in on a little conference." It was the final conference of the final chapter and the final word. And so God had to be there. The Father was there. Jesus was there. The Holy Spirit was there. Now then, what are they thinking about? This is our last word. Preachers will preach it. Folks will read it. And when they get to this place, they're through reading the Bible. This is it. This winds up my word right here. Now, what are we going to put? How should we close it out? Now, of course, I realize God's so good and so great, and Jesus and the Holy Spirit, they don't have to give much time, but I mean, they still seem like it was so vital and so important. They said, "Let's wind it up with one more great invitation." So that if there's anybody that feels like up until now he's never been invited, of course, they've already said, "Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." And then Jesus stood there and said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And it was John who said, "Behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." And now then, let's read it. This is so precious. And the Spirit, capital S, and the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the bride say, "Come." C-O-M-E, come. Now remember, I read the first invitation tonight that was ever given. And one man, a daddy of three boys, they had a wife of peace, and then his wife, and all eight of them walked in at the first. God gave the first invitation God ever gave at the close of a great service. He had eight souls saved. First invitation. Ark is through now. It's all wound up. And now then, but listen, he's giving a final invitation. And we're facing the end of the age of grace now, boys and girls and mothers and daddies. Have you come yet? Have you come yet? And he said, "And the Spirit, and the Spirit, and the bride say, come." The Holy Spirit's calling tonight. You'd say, "Brother Roloff, really? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit's calling me to be saved tonight? Could you kind of help me along the line? I'm kind of ignorant about the Bible. I mean, I don't know. I wasn't brought up in the Word of God. Tell me why you believe the Holy Spirit's calling me. Number one, you're here. You could have been in a beer joint or a picture show or before a television set. You're here. Now, may I ask you a question? Who brought you, the devil or God? Did the Holy Spirit bring you tonight, or did the devil's spirit bring you tonight?" You'd say, "Well, I'm sure the Lord must have..." All right, the Holy Spirit's after you. He's calling. Number two, are you satisfied in your life of sin? And are you planning to go on and live and die the way you've been living? You say, no, Brother Olaf, I really have a desire. I reckon where you got it. Did the devil give you that kind of desire, or did the Lord give you with his Spirit? See what I'm talking about? Oh, listen, dear friends. Have you ever had a desire to be like some great Christian? "My old mother, I wish I could be like her," somebody said. "If ever there was a saint of God, my mother was a saint of God. I long someday." Reckon what made you feel like that in hell?
We're glad you've joined us today for the Family Altar program with Evangelist Lester Roloff. The message today is entitled, "God Will Close the Door." If you'd like to receive this message on a CD, simply ask for offer number RO3317 and ask for "God Will Close the Door." To help us with shipping and handling, we ask for a gift of at least $10. And if you can help with the broadcast and other needs that we have, we hope that you'll include a gift for that. Our address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas 78403. And we hope when you write that you'll also include the call letters to the radio station that you're listening to, and also today's date. To order by credit card, dial toll-free 1-800-772-7507.
Jesus, the world needs. the fall of man. On every hand, the world is lost in sin. The world needs Jesus, for only He can offer peace and joy through all eternity.
Our special offer for the month of April is Oh, to Be Like Thee, a collection of songs by various artists. Some of the songs are Jesus Means All to Me, Down the Sawdust Trail, I Want to Do Thy Will, O Lord, He Knows Just What I Need, The Fire Song, Heaven Came Down and Glory Filled My Soul, and several more. Now, when requesting this CD, ask for offer number 310. That's 310. And enclose an offering of $12. We accept credit card offers, so dial toll-free 1-800-772-7507, or you may write us at the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Again, that offer is Oh, to Be Like Thee, and the order number is 310. Again, the address is the Roloff Evangelistic Enterprises, Post Office Box 1177, Corpus Christi, Texas, 78403. Or to use your credit card, dial toll-free, 1-800-772-7507. This is Gene Price speaking for the staff, wishing you all have a good day, and we're looking forward to being with you again here on the Family Altar Program.
The strangers to God, His grace and His love, were gathered by blue Galilee to listen with joy to words from the lips of the stranger who sat by the sea. They came and they were blessed. He gave the weary rest. He made the blinded eyes to see. He fed the hungry soul, and He made the wounded whole by the waters of blue Galilee.